Well, if you were here in the last couple weeks, we started a series, and this is a great irony. One of the things I wrestle with is pride, and I had it all planned out that I was going to do this series that would last weeks and weeks and weeks. Well, through a number of conversations with some of you and times that I've been spending with the Lord decided that I should not continue this series any longer, and He asked me to stop it. So if you came here today in order to hear the next part of the series on the multiplication of disciples, I want to say that I'm going to shift it into a series of blog postings that I put online. So if you're curious about those things, we're going to shift that focus onto some pieces of writing that I'm working on. And instead, God really put on my heart that we shift into a different direction. And that direction is for us to talk about relationships. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking specifically at relationships. And I want to say to you that, you know, I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what your experiences are with Him. I don't know if you're a new believer or a long believer, or still you're trying to figure out who God is and the role that He plays in the world around us and all those things. But in the midst of anywhere you are in your journey, there is a truth that in life, relationships matter the most. They're crucially important. And I think sometimes we walk through our life, we kind of wander through our life, and we forget about that. And we look at relationships as something that really don't quite matter as much. And that other things that we have to do matter more than relationships do. And we start moving forward in those kinds of ideas and principles. And every time we do that, the bad thing is that we always come upon difficulty. And we find that a lack of focus on relationships always leads to trouble. So over the next few weeks, I want to talk about relationships and how they matter the most. It was really neat. First service, Dana gave a testimony. Last night we had the Big Daddy Weave concert that took place in Pomeroy. By the way, it was just a huge, huge success. As far as I look at it, all the way around, I count about 1,600 people that were there last night for the first concert that this group of people tried to put on. I think it was a really big win. The food was great. They had free food for people, and they didn't run out of food, which I thought was amazing. When they had all these people, they kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept coming. And we had a great opportunity, some people from our church, to staff the merchandise tables. And it was neat, because some of us were like, oh man, if we staff the merchandise table, we're not going to be able to see the concert, and I want to see this concert. And then God started moving in our hearts and said, you know, the concert's secondary to relationships. And the time that we spend one with another, and the time that we spend with people coming to the tables, and some of the band members there brought some of their kids, and the kids were hanging out with us, and the time that we spent with those kids, I thought was far more important than us seeing the concert and being part of the concert. And we had an opportunity to meet some new friends, we had an opportunity to be a blessing to others, and we had an opportunity to just kind of hang out in this really neat spiritual, like, bubble. It was neat. It was fun for us to do. So, relationships. No matter where you are, what you're doing, they're the most important thing. So today, let's start looking at relationships. Now, if you have your bulletin, on one of the leaves in the bulletin are my sermon notes for you, and in the sermon notes, there are fill-in-the-blanks that are there. And every time that there's a blank, it's going to be underlined up here on the screen so that you'll know the word that's supposed to go in that blank, all right? So it's easy for you to follow along. Relationships. Man was made for relationships. All the way back in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, He made them to be relational. In fact, the reason that Eve was created was so that Adam would have somebody to be with, somebody to enjoy life with, somebody to experience all the blessings of life together with someone, that he would not be alone. Relationships from the very beginning were important. Not only did Adam and Eve have relationships together with themselves, but the relationship that they had with God was incredibly crucial. Can you imagine what it would have been like to walk and talk in the garden with God? Can you imagine that? The answer is no, you can't imagine that. Because since that time that sin has occurred, there was a breaking of relationship between God and man. And we can't get back to that place, this side of heaven, completely, the way Adam and Eve were able to experience God. God made us for relationship. God made us to have a connection with Him. And as we look about life, relationships with us, each other, and relationships with God are the most important aspects that we have in life. We have relationships all around us. No matter where you look, you bump into people. What are some of the relationship connections that you see in life around you? Go ahead, just throw them out. Yeah, go ahead, just. Friends, work, coworkers. A lot of us have friends at work, and a lot of us have others at work. Maybe not call them friends, coworkers. So we have friends and coworkers. Who else?
Father, daughter.
Yeah, father and daughter. Church, people that we know at church. What else? Neighbors, yeah.
Good works.
Yeah, connections through other ministries. Excellent, good. Landlords, legal connections, how's that? Bosses, definitely, great. School, teachers, administrators, friends at school, school bus drivers, relationships, connections with people. By the way, when I was on a school bus when I was a kid, I was the first bus stop to get on the bus and the last one to get off the bus. I had a 45-minute bus ride each way. And before the end of the first week of school, the bus driver knew each and every one of us by name. And throughout the whole rest of the year, the bus driver knew things about our lives. And when we were having a bad day, they knew it and they encouraged us. And when we were having a good day, they knew it and they congratulated us. Relationships, bus drivers. Cool. I think we said parents to kids, but what about kids to parents? That's right. Brothers and sisters. Anthony laughed, right? Is he this one? Brothers and sister relationships. Yeah, husband and wife, our spouse.
Customers and business.
Yeah, customers and business. See, everywhere we go, everything we do, we have a relationship. Sometimes in our culture, we play down that relationship, right? I mean, do you get to know in a relationship someone better if you go into the restaurant and order face-to-face or if you go through the drive-thru? Which one is more relational-based? Inside, face-to-face. I remember one time that I thought to myself, this isn't fair. Any fast food restaurant puts the priority on the customer who is going through the drive-thru. Did you know that? So you'll stand there and watch six of your things being made going out the door while you're standing there waiting because the priority is on that person. And I was always like, oh man, why is that? I'm standing here. Shouldn't I be the priority? And then I realized, cool, this gives me an opportunity to develop more relationship with that person. I'm there longer. Go ahead, keep giving my food out the window. I'd rather talk to you instead. Relationship is really important all around us. Now, I want to tell you that there is no task in life. There's nothing that you can do that is more important than the relationship with the person that you're doing that task with. Nothing is more important than those relationships. Now, sometimes we look at it the other way around, and we think the task is more important. In the midst of that, we kind of run over relationships, don't we? I mean, we talked about jobs. Think about all those times where you felt like you were nothing more than a number, nothing more than a position that needed to be filled. And in essence, in most jobs, that's the way it is. If you don't show up to work, if you get fired, if you quit, you're like, well, what are they going to do without me? And they're like, well, we're just going to hire somebody else. They can do the same job too. And they fit somebody else in there who does it just as well as we did. If you're looking at those relationships as task-oriented, it's really easy to shift people in and out. But if you look at it as relationship-oriented, there will be nobody else who can do that job like you. Therefore, you are of incredible value. And there is no task that is more important than the relationship with the people that you're doing that task with. I want to say that all trouble that we experience in life occurs when we do not engage in the relationships in the way that God wants us to do that. We get away from God's definition. We say our definition is more important than God's. I mean, think about it. We know that things go wrong when we don't read the instructions. Now, I'm a guy who had to learn that the hard way. I'm sure most of us guys have to learn that the hard way, too. I am sad, by the way, that my kids have gotten to the age where for Christmas, they no longer receive gifts that need to be put together. That was half of my Christmas. Great, you got a Barbie house. Think of all the time it's going to take us to put this together. Dad, do you need the directions? No, I don't need the directions. Yet. Don't throw them away. I might need them later, right? don't need the directions. We don't need the instructions. And we all have had those experiences where we didn't follow the directions. We didn't follow the instructions. It brought us to a place where we realized we should have followed the directions. We should have followed the instructions. Let me give to you, present for you a few examples of people who did not follow the instructions. How about this? I'm going to make a cake. I know a cake needs like flour, maybe eggs, oil, vinegar. No, you're probably not bringing it. It might need some baking soda, but I'm not sure. This would be what a cake would look like if I made it without following the instructions. And nobody would want to eat this, that's for sure. How about this? Somebody wasn't looking at the plans right when they found that they get to the bottom of the stairs and they go to the right instead of the left. So they make it go to the left and you get to the bottom of the stairs and poof, you hit the wall. Or somebody forgot to put the door there, one or the other. I'm not sure which way that would work. How about this one, buddy? Buddy's like, oh, I did that. This is Buddy's driveway for those that haven't been there. I'm just kidding. This might have been a disgruntled employee on the last day. What do you think, buddy? Something like that. Well, it definitely stands out, doesn't it? How about this one? We're going to pay a lot of money to get the front row seats for a soccer game, and we will see absolutely nothing. Even if I stand up there, I can't see anything. That was not a good idea. Of course, in addition, you have no leg room either. Bad idea. How about this one? You guys been driving through Columbus lately? I'm amazed at the way we do construction projects. They clear the land, and one team comes through and clears the land and puts it in the right place. Another team comes through and starts to build the supports for the bridges and the highways that are coming through. And they're all just standing there, all on their own, like they're big trees in a forest. And then another crew comes and starts trying to connect all those things together. Well, what happens if they work from this end, and they get to the middle, and they find that it doesn't quite match? Trouble. That's what happens, trouble. Now, if I was doing this myself, and this was a matchbox thing, I could fix this. I could fix this easily. We would either put a crooked piece of track between those two things, or we just put up little road signs. Steep curve ahead, or bump. I think a bump sign would work really well here. I don't know. That would be tough. How about this one? Two explanations for this. One, the dad didn't follow the directions, and this is how he thought it was supposed to be. Or the dad didn't follow the directions, and this is what happened after the kid went down the first time. Or this is me, and I'm preparing my kids for Cedar Point. It's one of those. See, that's really Seth sitting up there. It's just like, Dad, do I have to do it again? Yep. This is what we call the dragster. Get ready for it. So, it's easy for us to realize that we don't follow directions. Bad things can happen. And for us, many times, bad things do happen. God has designed specifically our relationships in life. Many of us kind of wander through life wondering if there is a design. Yes, He has designed relationships. And this order, descending order of relationships is incredibly important. Our relationship with God is the most important relationship. And when our relationship with God is out of order, is disconnected, all the rest of them suffer from that. And the next one, most important for those of us married, is the relationship with our spouse. There is no more important relationship between man and woman than the relationship of husband and wife. That relationship needs to flow from God coming down into it. And then from there, the relationship to our children. How many times are children blessed because of the relationship with parents? How many times are children's lives in turmoil because of relationship between parents? It flows downwards. And then we have relationship with our friends, and relationship at work, and relationships with family, and relationships with strangers. These are all important relationships, and God has given us important dynamics regarding each and every one of these relationships. Ways that He wants us to relate one to another all flow from the way that we relate to Him. In the next few weeks, we'll be looking at each and every one of those. Today, I want to start with a relationship with God and talk about how crucial that relationship is in our lives. Now again, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what your experience is with Christ. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. I don't know if some of you have a deep, intimate relationship with Him that has been long-standing. I don't know if some of you are still trying to figure this out. But all of us have a relationship with God that can be defined in one of two ways. One, we're close and we're with Him, or the other one, where we're kind of running from Him. And there's a truth in Scripture that says that God pursues us in relationship. God is not this distant person who's expecting us to come to Him. God is this incredibly loving person who is pursuing us, who is following us. As many steps as we take away from Him, He is right there behind us. He is right there with us. And no matter how far we come from Him and we come to a place where we want to have relationship with God, all we need to do is stop and turn, and He is there. God never gives us 100 steps that we need to follow in order to know Him. God never gives us all of these hurdles we need to go over, or hoops we need to jump through in order to have relationship with Him. God doesn't stand there and give us a list of all the things we did wrong and all the places we shouldn't have gone and all the things we shouldn't have done in order for us to get to that place where we can have relationship with Him. He wants to restore relationship with us just like it was with God and Adam in the Garden of Eden. And He did that through Jesus Christ. That's how He did it. But God pursues us. I love this book by Blackaby called Experiencing God. And in Experiencing God, Blackaby outlines 7 realities of the way that God pursues us and the way that we interact with Him once we choose to follow Him with our lives. I want to go over those 7 realities. I don't think they're in your notes, and there's a lot of words in here. So I just want to say that if you'd like to know these things more, you're best off Googling it when you get home. Just type that into Google, 7 Realities of Experiencing God by Blackaby, and they'll just come right up pretty quickly. The first one is that God is always at work around you. God's always working. When we were in Rome, we got the daily Rome newspaper, and in the daily Rome newspaper, there were cartoons, and we always looked at the cartoons. And one of the guys that was a cartoonist, I think he syndicated, he had this very, very poor view of God. His view of God was that God was this elderly grandfather kind of person who was bumbling. And he had a wife. And in the cartoon, over and over and over again, God would sit in his armchair, big grandfather kind of guy, and he would take the globe. And I saw over and over again this guy would do this. And he would take God with his finger, and he'd be just about ready to touch the globe. And his wife would go, "Stop! What are you doing? Remember what happened last time you meddled with world affairs?" Know what kind of an idea that author has about God. That every time that he gets involved in life, he messes things up for people. It's not the image that we have of God. It's not the image at all. God loves you. He pursues you. He wants to have relationship with you. In fact, all the trouble, all the pain, all the suffering in the world occurs when we get away from relationship with God. It's so interesting. I'd love to meet that cartoonist and say, "No, you got it 100% wrong. Switch it around. It's not God messing up with what's going on in the world. It's us messing with what's going on in the world. And God is the only one who can fix it." So He pursues us. He is working around us. He pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. God wants to know you, and He wants to know you intimately. God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. It's not as if God is out doing all of His things and He's like, "Watch what I'm doing." And He goes and He does His things. Wasn't that pretty cool? And then He goes and does more things. But He invites us to come with Him in the work that He is doing. He wants to use us as His tool to be involved with the world that is around us. And that happens when we follow 4. We first hear from God. He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, the church, reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. That's how God speaks to us. We know specifically what God wants us to do when we spend our time dwelling in these places. And if you're somebody who wants to hear the voice of God in your life, this is where you need to look for it. It's not about doing research to find out God's will. It's more of positioning yourself in a place that God can speak. And God doesn't speak the same way to 2 people. He speaks in a variety of ways. He puts circumstances around our lives. He brings people into our lives. He opens doors and shuts doors. I mean, how many of us have prayed that? "God, will you open doors before me, or will you shut doors before me?" And then how many of us have gone to the shut doors and pounded on them and brought in heavy equipment to bust through them, and then have gone 5 or 6 steps through there and found that there was nothing but failure there, and turned around and said, "God, why did you do this to me?" And God's standing there going, "Look, it was a closed door. Didn't you notice? It said, 'Do not enter,' right on it. I locked the door, and then I put that gate in front of it. I don't know how you got through it, but you did. The other door, by the way, had that arrow that was blinking, saying, come this way. And a man standing there going, would you like to come this way, please? And we said, I don't think so. This one looks more inviting to me. So silly how we do those things in life. And I don't know about you, but I have done that so many times. I have neglected the way that God wanted me to go and pushed the way I wanted to go. All the while God's saying, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do this. It's not going to be good. You're going to regret this. Okay. We'll see. And it's turned out to be bad every time. So let God speak to you. God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. While the big door, the way that he wants us to go, may look very inviting, it's tough to choose that door because it goes against our nature. It is absolutely opposite. Our nature is to go against from what God wants. God's nature given to us through the Holy Spirit allows us to follow God's desire for our lives. And that leads us to a crisis. Do I listen to God? Do I trust him? Or do I want to go my own way? And every time we come to that place, it's always right to follow God. Number six, you must make major adjustments to your life in order to join God in what he's doing. Because again, your ways are not God's ways. And the last one is you come to know God personally and intimately by experience as you obey him, as he accomplishes his work through you. And I'd add to what Blackaby said here, as he accomplishes his work in you first and then through you. Because God can use you as his tool if you do not have close relationship with him. But God usually does not use you as a tool to build his kingdom unless you have close, personal, intimate relationship with him. So for some of us, we ask, God, why don't I see you working around me? We need to focus on him first and let him do his work the way he wants to do it around us. So how do we have relationship with God? Well, again, we either have relationship by running away from him or allowing him to be part of our lives. That's the way that we have relationship with God. And we realize that when we have relationship with God, it's not because of anything that we have done, but it's all because of Jesus Christ. It's all because of what Christ has done for us. And as we submit our lives to Christ, that's when we start to see him doing these amazing things that we so desire to have. Romans chapter 8 talks about the fact that we can never be separated from him. Convinced that neither death nor life, or angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can separate you from God. You cannot do anything that will pull you so far from God that you cannot find him again. He's right there with you. John 3:16 is a verse that most of us have memorized, but I like to go a little further with that because I think it rounds out the picture of what Jesus was saying a little better. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but God saved the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So this image, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, we are condemned. We are separated from God. We already stand in a position where we are not in God's blessing. We'll be separated from him on this life and for all of eternity. And what we need to do is allow relationship with Christ to reconnect us, both here on this life and for all of eternity. And it only happens through what Jesus Christ does for us. I think it's interesting, in 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. In Romans 5, we read, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can't earn God's love. He did it for you. You just receive it. And there's a whole bunch of different ways that we receive God's love. All of us have different stories of how we became connected to God. All of us have different stories of how God revealed himself to us in such a way that we embraced it for the first time in our lives. And if we open up the floor for different testimonies about how God worked, some of these themes would come out specifically. Sometimes God does it through pain and sorrow. Now, it's not that God causes pain and sorrow to happen. We don't believe in that kind of a God. But pain and sorrow happens because we are separated from Him. And God will use that pain and sorrow through that separation in order for us to be connected with Him. Part of my story is that God used pain and sorrow in my life. And I know it's kind of a trivial pain. It's a trivial sorrow, but it worked really well for me in my time frame. I was 8 years old. It was 1976. It was Mother's Day, 1976. I was the oldest kid. What we wanted to do for Mom was give her breakfast in bed. Now, for any of you who've been a recipient of breakfast in bed, if it's done by kids, it's not all it's cracked up to be, right? So we did our best. It probably looked a lot like the cake did, I think. And we made pancakes for breakfast that day. And we brought it into Mom. And one thing I forgot to do was to turn off the griddle that we used to make pancakes that day. And we were running out the door, as we often ran out the door to get to church in the morning. And in order to get a drink of water, when I was that age, I had this thing where I would put two hands down on the counter and put a knee up. And once my knee got up, I could reach where the cups were. Well, I went to put two hands on the counter to get my knee up there, and my right hand went down squarely on top of the still-on pancake griddle. And I can hear the sizzle today. Wow. Well, we rinsed it off and wrapped it up, and we were going to church. Nothing was stopping us, so we went to church. And while we're at church, Sunday school class is there. Special speaker that day, missionary from Africa who was working in a leper clinic. True story. And as that missionary is sharing her story and showing the pictures of the people she's working with leprosy up on the big screen and talking about what the disease looks like, here I am sitting there, 8 years old, looking at my hand and looking at the screen and looking at my hand and looking at the screen. And she's zoomed in on hands and I'm looking at my hand and it looks just like those pictures on the screen. So I start crying. I'm just sitting there crying. And my teacher comes over and says, "Jimmy, what's the matter?" And I go, "I got leprosy." She laughed, put her arm around me, said, "Ah, I don't think you have leprosy. We'll talk to the missionary later and ask her what she thinks, but I don't think you do." She put her arm around me and encouraged me. And afterwards, we went up and talked to the missionary, and she said, "No, how'd this happen?" I said, "A griddle." She said, "Griddles don't cause leprosy. You're okay." And then she said, "You know, in our pain and sorrow, it's good for us to be able to turn to Jesus. Can you turn to Jesus?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And they led me through a prayer where I could trust upon Jesus better that day. And for me, that's how my story started. Now, I know some of you have been through a lot more significant pain and sorrow than I did that led me to Christ. But for each and every one of us, if it leads us to know a relationship in Christ, it's a good thing in the end. Some of us come to a place of an awakening where we realize that the way we're living life is not the way we should live life, where the things that we're trying to do are not succeeding, and there's a better way to do this. And somebody introduces the concept that the better way to do that is through God. And all of a sudden, we're like, "Wow, I've never tried that before. Maybe I should give my life to God and see what He has for me." An awakening could be how God leads you to know Him. It could be through a miracle. There are miracles taking place every day in places in the world today. And they're being used by God to open up people's eyes to the fact that He is real and He is active and He is working and He is the one that you need to have relationship with. My small group and I, we're studying this right now. We're looking at a ministry that today is watching over 100 people raised from the dead in Jesus' name in Mozambique, Africa. And in this place and in this culture, a miracle takes place. In some cases, the person that was raised from the dead tells this story. "I was burning in hell. I was there. The things that we believe as a culture are not true. Listen to the Christians. They are the ones who have the truth. Jesus is the only way to have relationship with God." And when a dead guy starts preaching that message, everybody listens. "Wait, weren't you dead yesterday?" "Yes, let me tell you what God did for me." And there's one story where a guy was in the third day of the funeral procession. They were just about ready to bury his body when a missionary came and laid hands on him and said, "Arise in the name of Jesus Christ." And the guy got up, looked around, and everybody was like, "Holy cow, what is going on here?" And as he told his story, everybody said, "We want this Jesus too." Pretty cool. It's happening today. How about through visions and dreams? I have friends who work in third world countries, mostly in Muslim cultures, where they're saying that most people who are Muslims come to know Christ because of a vision or a dream, where Jesus comes to them in a dream and says, what you're following is not true. You need to follow me because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only one to have relationship with God. And in some cases, what they do is they say, you need to go find Bob. He has the message that I want you to hear. And these people live through their life looking for this guy named Bob or whoever it is that God put on their heart. And when they find them, Bob says, I know the message that you need to hear. It is the gospel message that God loves you and that Jesus died on the cross for you. And I know missionaries, plural, who are working in those cultures who find that everybody that comes to them has had a specific vision of Jesus Christ coming to them. Maybe God's done that to you in a dream. Maybe he's done that to you in a vision, and you've downplayed it because that's weird. That's not explainable. That's not how God works, is it? Yes, it's exactly how God works. Let's let him work the way he wants to. And then for some of us, it's through a divine encounter with another person. Some of us have been to this situation where we were in this place and somebody just showed up. We don't know who they were or how they got there, but God ordained that person to walk into our lives at that specific time to speak what they spoke so that we could have relationship with him. And I know over and over and over again, we see this happen, that God puts us in places to bless others. And I want to be one of those people that God uses to place in the right place at the right time to bless others. And I hope you do too. And we do that through experiencing him through this way that Blackaby was talking about, of letting God define how we're going to do and where we're going to go. Now, some of you have seen the wordless book before, this wordless bracelet before. We don't have color bulletins yet, so what I've asked you to do is to fill in the colors right there in the bulletin. Now, there's different layouts for these. This is the one I like the best. It starts with gold. It starts with yellow, and the yellow represents heaven. That heaven is a reality. We can't see heaven. We can't experience heaven. It doesn't make sense to us today. But Scripture is clear that heaven is a reality and that only those who know Christ are able to go to heaven. It's a great place for us to look forward to. And then the next one is black. And black represents our lives with sin. They're clouded. God cannot get to us and experience us because of that sin. And there needs to be something to remove the sin from our lives, to restore relationship between us and God. In the Old Testament, that thing that was restoring it was red. It was blood. And if you wanted to be somebody connected with God, you had to shed a lot of blood of bulls and sheep and pigeons and doves in order to have that connection to God. In the New Testament, that connection was completed through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the only perfect sacrifice. Everything in the Old Testament was pointing towards Christ. And as we accept what Christ has done for us, that's where we get to the next one, which is white, where we stand before God as if we have no sin, pure. And he looks upon us and he sees us the way he wanted to see us originally, without sin, connected in relationship. And the last one here is green. Because it's not as if we just pray to receive Jesus and we come to have relationship with him and we're done. No, we need to continue to grow. We need to continue to develop. We need to realize that it's important to be part of a body. We need to spend our time positioning ourselves so God can speak through his word, so God can speak through prayer, so God can speak through each other. He's placed us all here together so we can encourage one another. And as we do this, we experience a connection and a relationship with God the way he designed it, the way he did. It's simple. All you need to do is admit that you're a sinner and that you need to have relationship with God and open up that door to allow him to come and define what that relationship looks like for you. It's that easy. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about other relationships. Relationships with spouses, relationship with kids, relationships with bosses, relationship with friends, relationship with strangers. But none of these work if we don't have the right relationship with God. So we need to start there. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your truths. We thank you for your instructions. We thank you, God, for the fact that when we do things the way you want us to do them, we always find success. We always find blessing. We always find peace and love and joy and contentment and happiness. Maybe not right away, but you lead us to that place as we continue to submit ourselves to you. So I pray that you would teach us to be a people who are coming before you and submitting ourselves to you and allowing you to work in our lives in your timing, in your ways, with your principles, with your truths. And as we submit ourselves to you, we would experience you in a personal, intimate way. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you, God, for not holding things against us and making us do things specifically to know you. God, we pray that you would reveal your love. We pray that you would reveal your plan, your purposes for us in our lives. God, for those of us that are living with broken relationships, God, I ask that you'd give us wisdom today and over the next few weeks to understand what we need to do in order to have reconciliation and restitution, to be able to move forward with great joy and peace and success in those relationships. So speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, in ways only you can. Thanks for the service, for these kids and their families, for the opportunity that we have to rejoice in families that want to raise their kids to know you. We pray, God, again, blessing upon them, that you would be with them, that you would seal up this day in their lives, that this would be a day of consecration, a day of setting apart, a day of saying, we are different because we want to follow you. Let that be for all of us as we move forward every day of our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad you're here. Hope you have a great day. You're dismissed.